following program will be interrupted if necessary to bring you any late developments following Russia's declaration of war against Japan.
Dr. Christian's office.
And it's the Vaseline program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the show. Tonight, the spotlight picks out Los Angeles, and the prize goes to Paul Rappel, 2135 Montana Street, Los Angeles, California, for his play, Christmas Deferred, starring Dean Hershel as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price. Granted, ladies, nothing accentuates your good looks quite like an attractive, healthy tan. But don't forget, the same summer sun, the same hot, drying wind that tans skin so beautifully may also spoil the appearance of your hair. Yes, hot sun, wind, and water increase the danger of dry scalp by stealing away natural scalp oils, leaving your hair dry, stiff, lusterless. But just use Vaseline Hair Tonic and you'll check dry scalp quickly and easily. Make this simple summer beauty treatment a regular habit. Before every shampoo, massage your scalp vigorously with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Then steam your hair for several minutes by wrapping a hot towel around it. After the shampoo, for added protection from the sun's rays, smooth on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic as you would a brilliantine. Why not try this simple grammar treatment for your hair this evening? Then afterwards, see how obediently hair follows every movement of your comb. See how smooth and soft and shining it becomes. How full of flattering highlights. Try Vaseline Hair Tonic. Get a bottle tonight. Now to our prize play, Christmas Deferred. And it begins on a sunny summer afternoon in Dr. Christian's hometown of River's End. Judy Price, his pretty young secretary nurse, picks up the phone in his office and calls Matt Redding, editor of the local newspaper.
Hello, is that you, Mr. Redding?
Yes.
Well, this is Judy Price, Dr. Christian's secretary.
Oh, hello, Judy. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. Dr. Christian said to tell you that he's on his way over to the corner of Elm and Third Street. He wants you to meet him there, Mr. Redding.
He does? Well, did he say why?
No, he didn't, Mr. Redding, and I'm a little worried about him.
Worried?
Yes. You know, he usually tells me everything he does, but he was rather mysterious about this.
He was, eh? Well, maybe it's something serious. I'll get right on over there, Judy. Thanks.
You know, Dr. Christian, you're acting a good deal like a character in a mystery movie.
What? Oh, am I?
Here you've dragged me away from my office in one of my busiest days, evidently just to wander aimlessly down Elm Street with you.
Not aimlessly, Matt. I have a definite destination in mind.
Oh, you have? Well, do you feel at all like confiding in me what it is?
You know, I don't think at my age I can climb over a 5-foot wall by myself. You'll have to boost me up.
Look, Dr. Christian, fun's fun and all that, but just what are you up to?
Well, Matt, you're going down this street till we come to the rear of the ward residence. As you know, there's a wall around the back garden with...
You mean Ruth Ward's house?
Yes, Matt.
You're going to break into Ruth Ward's house?
Well, into her garden.
You're not after Mrs. Ward Sr.'s prize gladiola bulbs by any chance.
No.
Dr. Christian, I don't think I could be a party to anything involving Ruth, even if it were just a joke.
Oh, this isn't just a joke.
You know how she feels about the people in this town.
Yes. How does she think about you, Matt?
Well, as you know, I used to think I had a chance with Ruth before she married Glenn Ward. And then after his death, I thought perhaps... Well, I guess she classes me along with the rest of the town.
Yes, she and her mother-in-law seem to hold townspeople directly responsible for Ben Ward's death, even to the point of refusing to have anything to do with any of us. Oh, here we are, the ward.
You're not
serious about this business, are you, Dr. Christian? After all, someone's bound to see us and...
Oh, there's no one on the street except us.
But they... We don't know who may be that house across the street there. I'm sure I saw the curtain switch at that top floor window a minute ago.
Oh, yes, that's probably Aki Peabody. It was Aki who told me the best time to do this. Well, Matt, will you give me a hand up?
Look,
come now, Matt. How old are you? 36? Well, at 36, the spirit of adventure can't be entirely dead in a man.
And I'm going to regret this. You've got me so doggone curious. Okay, here we go.
Did you say anything?
No.
You? No. Come on. Around the hedge here. This way. Oh, not too much noise. I don't want to frighten. Frighten who? Oh, hello, Ted.
Oh, hello, Dr. Christian.
So they've got you lying out here in the sun, eh? That's good.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you, Dr. Christian. Where'd you come from?
Never mind about that, Ted. Come to see you. After all, you and I are old friends. I want to know how you're getting along. Oh, you remember Matt Redding here, don't you?
Oh, yes. Hello, Matt.
Hello, fella. You've been sick for quite a long time, haven't you, Ted?
Yes, an awfully long time. Why didn't you come to see me before, Dr. Christian?
Well, I wanted to, Ted, but I couldn't very well. Professional ethics.
Professional? Oh.
I couldn't interfere after they brought Dr. Stone from the big city.
Yes. Grandmother says he's the best doctor in this part of the country.
Oh, she does, does she?
You think he'll make me well?
I'm sure he will, Ted. You want to try to eat more. Put a little meat on you. You're pretty thin for a big fellow like you.
I did want to be well by Christmas time.
Christmas?
Yes, because Dr. Stone told Mummy I ought not to have too much excitement till I was a lot better. And Christmas is exciting.
Hasn't your mother told you when Christmas would come, Ted?
Well, she has so much to worry about. I didn't want to bother her. I wanted to get well enough for her.
You've slept a good deal of the time since you've been sick, haven't you, Ted?
Yes, an awful lot of the time. Mommy said I was
unconscious.
Yes, a lot of the time.
Well, you're going to get well, Ted. Plenty of time for Christmas. Matt and I have got to be going now, but we'll see you again soon.
Matt Redding, I want to talk to you.
Oh, come in, Ruth. I've been expecting you.
You have? Well, Matt, I'm waiting for an explanation.
You mean the article about Ted in yesterday's edition of the paper?
You know I do.
You didn't have the courage to tell the youngster Christmas had gone by while he was ill, did you, Ruth?
That happens to be nobody's affair but Ted's and mine. How did you find out about it?
Well, that is Dr. Christian and I, we climbed over the garden wall. We talked to Ted, and he told us.
Matt, how could you do such a thing? And this article, Christmas deferred for Ted Ward. This coming Sunday, August 8th, will be, to all intents and purposes, Christmas Day for 6-year-old Ted Ward, the son of Mrs. Ruth Ward of this city. Ill and in a coma during the holidays, the boy does not know that Christmas passed him by. So now his family and friends are creating for him a Christmas in midsummer. Every traditional observance of the Christmas
Ruth,
season.
You don't have to read it to me. After all, I wrote it.
Why?
Why not? It might help the boy to get well. He doesn't seem to have been making very good progress so far. Perhaps if he has something to look forward to.
Oh, Matt, you know how I feel about the people in this town.
Aunt Myra, may I?
I know you've been very bitter since Glenn's death, Ruth.
They killed him. If they'd given him a chance to restore the money he'd taken from the bank, he would have lived. He died of a broken heart.
Nonsense. Nobody died of a broken heart.
You've given these people another chance to sneer at me, to feel sorry for me. Why do you think Glenn's mother and I have lived on with Ted alone in that house? See no one, not even you.
Ruth, I'm going to say something to you that I've been wanting to say for a long time. You don't only hate the people in this town. You hate the world. You've allowed what's happened to you to make you small and bitter. That boy of yours has been growing up in an atmosphere of hatred and bitterness. No wonder he doesn't get well. What's he got to get well for?
I wrote that article hoping it might jog you off that narrow path you walk. I wanted
That's quite enough. Now at least I know what to think about me. I don't ever want to see you again.
Now I have fixed things. Oh, hello, Judy.
Mr. Redding, Dr. Christian told me to run over here and get you. He said he'd had a call from Aggie Peabody, and Ruth Ward has just left her house. If you hurry, you can catch her walking down Laurel Street.
It's no good, Judy. Ruth told me.
But Dr. Christian said he didn't care what she told you. He said you were to go over to Laurel Street and
let off the
Oh, it's you, Dr. Christian.
How do you do, Mrs. Ward?
What do you want? Ruth is out.
Yes, I know. Mrs. Ward, I bought a Christmas tree for Ted.
Dr. Christian, don't you think this has gone far enough?
I don't think you know quite how far it has gone. That's what I want to talk to you about. Since a few days ago when Matt printed that article,
I don't think we have anything to discuss, Dr. Christian. Good afternoon.
Oh, just a minute. Mrs. Ward, that item Matt printed in the paper has been picked up by all the big city papers.
Yeah.
You see, a small human interest item like that has a way of becoming big news.
My grandson's illness is no one's affair but ours. We want no interference. Besides, the doctor's told us, and he's a very competent doctor, that Ted is to have no excitement.
As a medical man myself, Mrs. Ward, I'm the first to say that doctors don't always know everything.
Dr. Christian, I must ask you to leave.
Grandma!
Oh, he's asleep. You've waked him.
Yes, Ted. I'm right here.
Grandma, please. Help me.
Linda,
there's an automobile with a person in the
kitchen. Grandma,
yes, Ted, you're right. The Christmas tree is for you.
No, thank you.
I'm going your way.
Thank you. I prefer to walk.
Okay.
Of course you're going to wear them.
I think you're right. It's a fine day for a walk. Just leave the car there.
Matt, if you don't mind.
Don't say it, Ruth.
And why not?
Well, after all, it's almost Christmas.
It is Christmas.
People are always kind to one another during the Christmas season, Ruth. Even people who may not like each other too much the rest of the year are nice to each other at Christmas time.
But it isn't Christmas or anywhere near Christmas. It's the 8th of August.
No, but you're wrong, Ruth.
No, I'm eating.
Have you told Ted that it isn't Christmas? No, I didn't think you had. Here, let's turn down this way.
But I'm not going that way. I have some shopping to do. Matt, I really...
There's something I want to show you.
I'm sorry, Matt.
It's very important, Ruth. Come on, this way.
Where are you taking me?
Ruth, do you remember Dad Watson? He used to have his carpenter shop down this way.
What? Well, yes. Is he still here? He must be very old now. I remember when I was a little girl, he made me a doll carriage once.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Dad closed the shop some time ago. Right after he got the wire, his son had been killed in South Pacific fighting.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dad hasn't taken a lot of interest in things since then. This is a shop right ahead of us here. Remember?
There's someone in it.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? Come on, over here. We can see in through the window.
Why, it's Dad Watson, Matt. I thought you said...
He's been working in the shop again lately. Seems he's making a toy train, all carved out of wood. You see? Nice, isn't it?
Why, it's beautiful. Matt, do you know?
Yeah. It's for Ted's Christmas.
That wasn't fair. You knew what he was doing.
Sure I did. It's given Dad a new interest.
If you let him come and see Ted once in a while, I think it'd be very nice, don't you? Ruth, let's stop here for a minute.
Why?
Well, because from here we can see across that backyard into Mrs. Heflin's kitchen.
Why should I want to see into Mrs. Heflin's kitchen?
Go ahead and look. What do you see?
Nothing much. A couple of people moving around.
Uh-huh. That's Mrs. Sachs helping Mrs. Heflin bake some cookies. It's a miracle.
What miracle?
Mrs. Sachs helping Mrs. Heflin bake cookies. You see, a few weeks ago, Mrs. Sachs told Mrs. Heflin she didn't like her new hat.
Hello?
Now, Mrs. Heflin had spent a lot of money on the hat, and she was very proud of it.
But Mrs. Sachs didn't like it.
No. And when she told Mrs. Heflin she didn't like it, Mrs. Heflin became very annoyed. And one thing led to another, and Mrs. Sachs and Mrs. Heflin became bitter enemies.
But now Mrs. Sachs is helping Mrs. Heflin bake cookies?
Uh-huh. Christmas cookies.
Oh.
Yeah. I wanted you to see how my office looks now, Ruth. Quite different from the last time you were here.
Oh, Matt. Those letters and packages. Why, there must be...
Ah, thousands of them. From all over the country. Christmas letters and gifts.
Oh, Matt.
Don't you see, Ruth? It won't be Christmas only for Ted. It'll come to all of us for a little while because of him. Well, what do you say, Mrs. Ward? Still think it's the 8th of August?
I hope you don't
think
it's
too serious.
You win that. You got a minute
to call. Merry Christmas.
Matt. Oh, Matt.
He's going to marry me. This is our way.
Houston.
Oh, it's all right, Dr. Christian. Matt and I were just... exchanging Christmas greetings.
Oh, you don't say.
But none of this.
Well, that's fine. That's... allow me to wish you both a very merry... Oh, no, I haven't got time for that. Ruth, you've got to get home right away.
Ted, nothing's happened.
No, he's all right.
Oh.
But I have a feeling your mother-in-law is up to something. He wasn't very pleased when I took the trio. I left practically by request. And as soon as I got home, Aggie Peabody called me.
Aggie Peabody?
We ought to explain, Ruth, that Aggie is the doctor's special espionage agent. Her room overlooks your house and garden.
Oh, I see.
But that's not all. He also shares your party line.
Oh?
And it seems he just happened to be listening in when she heard your mother-in-law calling the hospital for an ambulance.
An ambulance? But why?
I think he's planning to get Ted away from what she calls the excitement of Christmas. He seems rather strong.
Come on, you can tell me the rest on the way. Nut. Come on, let's hurry. Ruth, what is the meaning of this? Merry Christmas, Mother. What did you say? Wait, Ted. Oh, hello, darling.
Hello, Mommy.
So you have my bundle up ready to go. How are you, darling?
Oh, I'm fine. Gee, it's exciting, isn't it?
Ruth, we've got to get Ted away from all this. It's bad for him. Look at him, Mother. Huh? I said, look at him.
Something isn't
his color in his face, his eyes are sparkling. He looks better than he looks in... Do you think the excitement's bad for him, Dr. Christian?
I think it's just what he needs. Isn't that what you think, Ted?
Yes, Mommy, yes. I didn't want to tell you, but I was getting so tired of nothing ever happening around here.
Of course you were. And let me tell you, sister, darling. So is your mother. Have you taken complete leave of your senses? No, Mother. I'm just happy because it's Christmas. Certainly don't think I'd be asking everyone in for our Christmas Eve party if it weren't the 24th of December, do you? Ruth, you can't be thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Oh, good night, Ruth. It was a wonderful party. Do we have to turn out the lights on the Christmas thing now, Dr. Christian?
No, not if you don't want them outfit. I think we ought to let them burn till the dawn of Christmas Day. Don't you think he should, Mrs. Ward? Mrs. Ward, I said...
I said, yes. Yes, sir.
I guess it's customary on Christmas Eve.
Grandma, you got to say it last that it's Christmas.
Yes, dear. I guess I finally got it straight about Christmas.
Just call Mommy and tell her.
No, Ted. Your mother saying goodnight to Matt. I think that's going to take quite a while.
Oh, yes. I guess that's going to take quite a while.
Ted, I'll go fix you warm milk, Ted. You'll need something to put you to sleep tonight, young man.
Yes, Mrs. Ward.
Merry Christmas. And please accept the thing told him.
Why, thank you, Mrs. Ward. And a Merry Christmas to you. Well, Ted, this has been quite a day.
I bet it's the best Christmas Eve anybody ever had on the 8th of August.
Yes, it certainly... Why, you young rascal, you.
Don't you, Dr. Christian. You didn't think I was that dumb.
Well, you know what I think. I think you are a thoroughgoing young scoundrel.
He ran away from us.
You mean that all along you...
No, not at first. And then when I found out, I kind of thought Mommy and Grandma needed Christmas more than I did.
I see. Yes, Beth. I think you've got something there. I think maybe there are times when we all need Christmas.
Curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Cries play with our star, Jean Herschel, waiting to greet you, and Judy Price right here to say,
be careful, friends. Old style can fool you. You may not feel it, and your skin may not show it, but later the effect of long exposure to the hot sun's rays may be a stinging sunburn. Should you suffer such a sunburn, immediately apply Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly relieves sunburn quickly in three different ways. It supplements natural skin oils dried out by the sun. Then it forms a protective film that guards against infection when the skin blisters or cracks. And third, Vaseline Petroleum Jelly cools the parched skin, soothes and helps promote thick hair. Remember, it's sunburn. So when the sun's rays scorch your skin, burn it to a bright, painful red. Apply Vaseline Petroleum Jelly quickly. Take a jar or a handy tube on your next trip to the beach of the country. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly tonight. Remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Teasboro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Herschel.
Thank you very much. Now a word about the author of tonight's charming play, Christmas the Third. He's Paul Ezra Fell of Los Angeles, California. And his career includes writing for the magazine, writing and directing radio programs, a term in the infantry, and a term working for the OWI, writing shortwave radio programs. Now I have a message here from the government, urging us all. To help lift the black market in, by refusing to buy over the ceiling price, or to buy without giving the required number of red breaking points. The only situation is to ensure a correct distribution of available supplies to all. It is up to us to make it work.
All about the woman in River Sand.
Next week, our prize play is called Canine Justice by Jackie Plumley of Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. So we invite you all to listen next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time and same space. And until then, I'll say good night.
Hot sun, dry and wind, water. All three rob you of natural scalp oils and fight dry scalp. So combat dry scalp. Check it quickly and effectively with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic grooms hair, loosens dandruff, relieves icky scalp. Use Vaseline Hair Tonic daily and before shampooing. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight.
If you have a dog of your own, you'll be crazy about the next prize play, Canine Justice, which will be presented next week at this hour on the Dr. Christian program.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting.
Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.